Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan is co-sponsoring a bill that would direct the Department of Veterans Affairs to research medicinal cannabis. Alaska Public Media reports that the bill calls on the VA to look into the efficacy and safety of cannabis in the treatment of veterans diagnosed with chronic pain, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other conditions. 29 states have legalized the medicinal use of cannabis, but it still remains illegal under federal law. That's why it's been unclear if the VA is allowed to research cannabis. Sullivan says the legislation has his support because he's heard veterans say the VA should look at the benefits of the drug.
Dealing with pain through self-medicating marijuana, and doctors, particularly at the VA, need to understand this and how it can impact their diagnosis.
Sullivan cites the overprescription of opioids and the rising number of overdose deaths in the past year as reasons veterans are looking for other treatment methods. Medicinal cannabis has been legal in Alaska for more than two decades. Alaska legalized its recreational use in 2015 through a ballot initiative. Sullivan has said he did not support it, but accepted the mandate of state voters when it passed. Sullivan says views of cannabis are softening in general in Washington, D.C., after strong nationwide support for its medicinal use and the handful of states that have legalized recreational use.
Even members of Congress who weren't supportive or aren't supportive of those kind of referendums are saying, hey, look, the people are speaking. This is what states have the right to do this.
Sullivan, a Republican, is the lone co-sponsor of the VA cannabis research bill by Senator John Tester, a Democrat from Montana. Alaska Congressman Don Young is one of 55 co-sponsors on an identical bill in the U.S. House. Fairbanks City Council member David Pruse has directed City Attorney Paul Ewers to draft a response plan for groundwater contaminated by historic use of firefighting foams at a South Fairbanks training facility. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, Pruse told Ewers at a Monday council meeting the plan must include a means of compensating affected property owners who could be paying for the response through their taxes.
Pruse told Ewers during Monday's council meeting that the city must come up with a plan on how it'll recover at least some of the $3 million the city has spent over the past year and a half trying to help homeowners affected by the growing groundwater contamination problem.
What we can do, what we can't do, who we're going after, but it's time to step this up. I want to see it within 90 days.
Pruse said Tuesday the plan would include discussion of how the city should seek compensation for homeowners who, he says, will be paying for the city's response to the contamination through their property taxes. He says the plan should include a list of agencies, companies, and other entities that have used the city's regional fire training center. That's where personnel trained on the use of fire-suppressing foam that contains per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS, the chemical compounds that have contaminated groundwater near the fire training center and elsewhere around Fairbanks.
Are we going after 3M, who made the foam? Are we requesting the state of Alaska to join us in a lawsuit against 3M? Are we looking at the parties who have made contributions to the pollution?
Ewers says training with PFAS and related chemical compounds took place at the fire training center for 30 years, ending in 2004. Mayor Jim Matherly said Tuesday that Ewers has been working on a legal strategy to respond to the groundwater contamination. He says Ewers will try to finish the job in 90 days, but he adds it's a very convoluted and complicated case.
It takes time to figure out who used what, who used it when.
Matherly says the case would get even more complicated if the city decided to go after 3M.
It could turn into a great big lawsuit.
Other local and state governments that have been affected by PFAS contamination have sued 3M, including Minnesota, which recently won an $850 million settlement. Matherly says Ewers also is considering seeking compensation from local agencies that use the fire training center.
University, some of the volunteer fire departments, to see if they can share the cost.
The mayor says the evolving strategy probably will require city property owners to pay up front through the extra mill on their property tax bills until the city can recover damages.
And we're able to collect down the road, we can readjust it back down.
Matherly says the council probably will decide in the fall whether and when to levy the additional mill. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
A man already facing a murder charge in state court for shooting a Fairbanks police officer has been additionally charged with federal crimes. 30-year-old Anthony Jenkins Alexi, accused of shooting Sergeant Alan Brandt in October 2016, has been indicted on federal gun charges related to the crime. U.S. Attorney for the District of Alaska, Brian Schroeder, announced the new charges yesterday at a press conference at Fairbanks Police Department.
One count of using a firearm during a crime of violence, one count of stealing a firearm, and one count of being a felon in possession of a firearm.
The additional charges are related to Jenkins Alexi having a previous felony DUI conviction and his alleged stealing of Sergeant Brandt's service weapon and patrol vehicle after the shooting.
The charge of using a firearm during a crime of violence, as we charged it in this case, is a maximum sentence of life imprisonment.
The other federal charge could bring more time, all additional to the 99-year sentence Jenkins Alexi faces if convicted of first-degree murder in state court. Brandt was shot on a downtown street while responding to a call. Public Service Fairbanks Police Chief Eric Jukes noted in thanking state and federal authorities for their work prosecuting the case.
Clearly, the officers are out there doing a very hard job, putting a lot on the line, and doing a lot for this community. And so, as Sergeant Brandt said at one time, we need your support. I think this is a perfect example of that support that we need.
Jenkins Alexi was recorded on dash cam video from Brandt's patrol vehicle and subsequently confessed to the shooting, describing it as an act of vengeance for police killings of relatives and friends. Sergeant Brandt died 2 weeks after the shooting from complications during surgery. Jenkins Alexi's murder trial in state court is scheduled to begin September 10th. A longtime and popular University of Alaska Fairbanks professor gives his final lecture tonight. Terrence Cole has taught history at UAF for 30 years. As KUAC's Robert Hannon reports, Cole is retiring to concentrate on his health and finish a book.
Terrence Cole says he immediately fell in love with Alaska and Fairbanks when he arrived in the state with his brother Pat in 1970. Pat was going to UAF, and Terrence realized he wanted to follow suit. As it turned out, his identical brother Dermot and his two younger sisters would also be drawn to the school. But Cole admits in college he had no inkling he would eventually be an historian until he fell under the spell of Bill Hunt and Hunt's book on the Alaska Gold Rush.
I just love the Gold Rush stories, and that book sort of really inspired me to think, well, gosh, I'd like to be a writer, but I don't know anything to write about, but heck, I could write about this.
Cole penned more than a dozen books about the Gold Rush, as well as leading figures and institutions in Alaska. Cole says he enjoyed his time in grad school at the University of Washington in Seattle and working for Alaska Northwest Books and editing the Alaska Journal, but he wanted to return to UAF. He got that wish in 1988 when he joined the history faculty.
You know, I'm so lucky I got to work at the University of Alaska Fairbanks because I don't think my style would necessarily fit in at most other universities.
Besides chalking up an impressive list of publications, Cole's teaching style has become legendary. He says he wanted to keep his students guessing.
I would set the classes up so that people didn't know what I was going to do next. Now, this is sometimes a problem when you forget what you're going to do next.
Nevertheless, Cole earned top marks from students for enthusiasm, and he's garnered many awards for his teaching, writing, and research. Several of the honors he's received over the years were awarded jointly with his brother Dermot, a well-known journalist and columnist. Last year, Cole learned he had inoperable gastric cancer, which prompted his decision to retire. While he's receiving chemotherapy, he's also finishing a book on the Gold Rush. The same humor that inspired his teaching is evident as he discusses his so-called final lecture tonight.
As Dermot's wife Debbie said, just because it be my last lecture doesn't mean I'm going to stop pontificating.
That lecture is scheduled at 7 p.m. in Scheibel Auditorium on the UAF campus. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
And I'm Dan Bross.